Wow, we're still rolling. 7 o'clock. This is awesome. No. No, it's 8:27. I got the mic really early this time around. I don't know what's going on. Usually it's about 2.5 hours in, you're thinking of transitioning, and that's all fine. One of the first times I ever came, I was like, it was the, what time was the service in the afternoon? 2:30? It was 20 till 6 when they gave me the mic. 20 till 6. It was all Tracy's fault. It was so fun, though. I was like, really? Like, you just guys kept singing, God's not dead. He's surely alive. And he's living on the inside. And it was like, you guys were wearing out the carpet the whole way around. I think that's why you're in another building. That one was done. Like, after that worship service, you needed another building. It just nonstop. And I was like, this is amazing. I forgot what time it was. Until then, it was like time to speak. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm supposed to preach yet. I looked and they said, you know, usually service is done right around then. And I just started. It was amazing. I thought only at Redemption House. That's good. Or Life Center. I want you to look at Ephesians real quick. It's just students, congratulations. I'm going to hang around and just enjoy your guys. Well, especially since he said Tracy went crazy, I want to see what that looks like. So I already agreed to stay before that, didn't I, Pastor? Yeah. But this is great. This is great. Even just coming here, you guys are so open. I just, you know, I don't really think about atmosphere or all that stuff. The word's the word. If you give me a mic, I'm going to preach the gospel. I've been in about every setting you can imagine, honestly. Yeah. I've been in about every denomination. I've been invited to, you might not realize, I've been invited to everything that's out there. I've been invited in places they don't even believe in healing. And they tell me that and ask me, would I come and at least teach on it and see if God does heal anybody? It's true. I was invited to a Bible college and the deans were cessationalists and believed everything passed away a long time ago. And they said, would you come and just share Jesus like you know him? And I thought, that'll be awesome, because in a setting like that, he will demonstrate everything you say. And it was amazing. I've been in Church of Christ. I've been in Presbyterian, Lutheran, lots of Methodists. I've been in Methodist that was straight liturgy. I didn't know that Methodist was so, like, different levels. And I was in a Methodist church. It was all liturgy. They just read the whole service right off the screen. And then they asked me to get up and share the gospel. I've been in several Episcopal churches. I've been in a Catholic church right after Mass, preached the gospel. I've been in a Catholic funeral and shared. I've just been privileged to be in a lot of places and wasn't all that received by the general population. In the beginning, I was preaching where I was being scorned and looked at over men's glasses for 20 minutes, where none of them wanted me there. None of that has anything to do with anything. You don't let that affect you. You don't start preaching in spite of. You don't try to shout them down, show them up. You're not in a war with people. You just preach Jesus as you know him. Now, if all you do is read your Bible to preach, you might not be able to do that. Don't just read your Bible to preach. Anybody can read their Bible and preach. You got to know him. And when you know him, you can impart things. When you just read your Bible to preach, you'll get people stimulated to think. You guys all right? You're kind of looking at me like, where is he going? But if you preach out of knowing him, you inspire revelation. There's a law in your Bible. It's the first one you'll find. It's seed time and harvest time, and each seed after its own kind. If you sow from the place of revelation, it carries a grace to illuminate the heart and cause people to see. If you just read your Bible to preach a sermon, you'll stimulate people's knowledge. The word's still anointed, and hopefully they'll get hungry and go after God. But you don't ever want to just read your Bible to preach. Anybody can preach a sermon if you read your Bible. You can go on the internet and preach somebody else's sermon. You can find a sermon aids, I think, out there, from what I understand, and things that help you preach a sermon. It's not about preaching a sermon. It's about living the Word of God. If the Word doesn't become flesh, we're not following Jesus. Yeah? Because the Word was made. And now that Word, Him, lives in us. And that's the hope of glory. Yeah? Yeah. I've always said, if you don't become the Word, you really don't know the Word. It's when the Word becomes flesh. A lot of times our theological understanding and our doctrinal base gets in the way and takes the place of knowing Him and suffices. I have never even read my Bible to quote my Bible. It seems like I have the ability to quote a lot of Scripture because it's in my heart, but never my goal to quote Scripture. The Lord had me read Philippians 2 for 13 weeks and told me not to read anywhere else till He tells me. 13 weeks later, He said, hey, you can read chapter 3. It was so amazing for 13 weeks reading one chapter. In that season, the way my life and schedule was, I read my Bible no less than 5 separate times a day. No less. And I read the same chapter every time. For 5 times a day. No less, for 13 weeks. And in the first day, probably about the 4th time, I'm like, guess I'm reading Philippians 2 again. Because I didn't hear anything else. It was almost like the Lord chuckled in my heart and said, Dan, I don't want you to read it to memorize it. I want you to read it to become it. Stay there and become my word right there in Philippians 2. So I camped out for 13 weeks. It made Philippians 3 really fun. The rest of everything else comes alive when He does that stuff to you. There was a time He got me in Romans 14 and said, I really, really want this in you. Stay there till you see this. And I just camped in Romans 14, the law of love, where you stop critiquing each other and trying to get everybody to agree with you and believe what you believe, where you stop shouting people down that don't agree with you or believe exactly what you believe. Where you don't do anything presumptuous. Where in those days there was meat being sacrificed to idols and it bothered some people. So they said, I ain't eating no meat. I'm not eating some meat that was sacrificed to Baal. Gross. I'll just eat veggies. That's what was happening. Yeah. And there was other people that said, hey, Paul himself, eat the meat. It's all goods received with thanksgiving. Ain't nothing wrong with the meat. But guess what he said? People that are weak in faith and it violates their conscience to eat the meat, would you leave them alone because they do it before the Lord and stop trying to change their mind and make sure you don't eat meat in front of them or you're stepping out of love? It's in Romans 14. So sometimes because we're eating meat in that season, we think we're more spiritual. Now it's masks. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, now you're going to try to get me going on something. Stop. I just had to tell a family member, look, I know you don't need to wear a mask because you're not afraid of the virus. Would you wear a mask for others and people that don't understand? If you go in a store, just wear a mask. Stop causing trouble. It doesn't sacrifice your faith. And whether this thing's as real as it seems or it's not at all, just don't cause friction right now. People don't need any more friction. Yeah? So I promise you the last thing on my mind is getting COVID. I'm not being arrogant. The last thing on my mind is wearing a mask. But when they tell me I need to in a certain store, they just told me I had to wear a mask on my whole flight on American Airlines. So I wore my mask. Why? Because there's somebody sitting 2 seats over and I don't want to stumble them. And I want to say I care about people, and then I want to be, well, I ain't wearing no mask. Well, how about thinking of others and not just yourself? Because somebody might be scared because they don't know Jesus, and you're supposed to know him, so why don't you just cooperate? Sorry. You're the one that brought it up. Look, we're saying we care about our neighborhoods and we want to reach our neighborhoods. Well, if your neighborhood is shook up by this thing and they do a mandate, just because you don't believe in the mandate or feel like you need it in your personal life, people don't understand that. Just don't cause people to stumble. You're supposed to avoid the appearance of evil. Why do you avoid the appearance of evil? Because men don't think evil. Why do they think evil? They're not perfected in love. And they aren't going to get there if you're not there leading the way. Are you with me? So sometimes you just make those little sacrifices for people's sakes. Are you okay with me right now? Nobody's mad at me? None of you guys that said, I ain't wearing no mask. You ain't mad at me, right? American Airlines got intense, man. They said, you will wear a mask on this whole flight, or you possibly will not fly on a future American Airlines flight. And I went, man, they're getting serious. Guy beside me just sat there and never put his mask on across the row from me. He was like, we'll see. I mean it. He was like, he had attitude. I was like, whoa, dear Jesus. Now, the guy right beside me, he had his mask on. The guy over from him, he was like, he didn't put it on at all, I don't think. I don't like it. I can't smile at people. I'm smiling. They don't know. They just see my eyes. I'm like, and they're like, why is that dude staring at me? I'm smiling at you. What's that guy grilling me, man? I'm trying to smile. Somebody, you can sell a bunch of masks. Make a mask with teeth on the outside. Big old dental pearly whites, man. Like, yeah, yeah. Somebody make one of them, man, and have everybody in the world smiling. Man, give it to the grumpiest people you know, man. For once in their life, it'll be a Stevie Wonder song in the first part. They will walk and smile, put on that mask. The family won't even recognize them. That's her hair, but I don't even know what we're doing right now. It doesn't matter, I'm here, so I'm here. Everybody will be okay. You just can't mess up here. So easy. So easy to be here. I was going to read. Did I turn you to Ephesians 4 or was that just in my mind? Did I tell you to go there? Ephesians 4? Oh, I didn't say 4. Okay. Well, I was gonna start in the middle of 4 and read something very common to everyone. But oh my goodness. I got troubled because I look back at verse 1 and it starts with a therefore, and I have this thing. I won't preach it a therefore. I got to back up so you know what it's there for. And then you back up and you're like, oh, dear Jesus. And then you back up more and it's like, what do you do? Because Ephesians 3 is powerful. Do you know in Ephesians 3, in chapter 3, it actually shows the intention of God in the gospel? That Paul says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. In other words, that God's purpose was to reveal his manifold wisdom through what he did in the cross and what he did inside of people. That's incredible. And we've turned it into a lot of other things. Please don't turn it into anything else. Let's read and believe and go, wow. This is amazing. He's changing me on the inside. Like in Ephesians 3, Paul said there's this grace that came on him to make all see. I referenced it just a tiny bit last night, but didn't talk about what that was. And then he goes down here. Look at verse 9. Now I'm back in Ephesians 3 because I can feel it. Now I'm going and I got to go there. And it's just good. He's going to make all see in verse 9. What is the fellowship of the mystery that was from the beginning of the ages? It was hidden in God. The cat's out of the bag. Let's not use a cat. I'm okay with cats. I was teasing you. I really don't hate cats. I just have fun with some people at church because they love cats, so I just have fun with them. And you make cat comments and you feel the oxygen leave the room, and they're like, it was so funny. Like the first time I did it, I mean, you really couldn't hardly breathe. It was like everybody went all at once. Did he preach that? I said, cats came on the earth after Adam ate the tree. I said, not everything was here from the beginning. I said, things got twisted and perverted after sin. So I said, when Adam ate the tree, poison ivy just shot out of the earth. Branches formed briars. Snakes got fangs filled with poison. A lot of things twisted. I said, cats just came up out of the earth. And the room went, ooh. And then I said, just look at their eyes. They're wrong. Their eyes are messed up. They turn. They're the wrong way. Cats' eyes are wrong. They need delivered. Cats. I don't hate cats. I just would never own one. But that was what I said, and then it turned this thing on, and it was a big cat feud ever since. And one of my dear friends back there, she so loves cats, so she has a lot of fun with me, and she's teamed up with my granddaughter to make sure that happens. Phew. Yeah. Let him out of the bag. That's better than tying it tight, wasn't it? See, I don't hate cats. So this mystery was hidden, which means now it should be understood. Like, we should know what we signed up for, what we're a part of, what we've become. We should actually understand the commander-in-chief's purpose and intention. We should see why Jesus came, and it should be more than being forgiven for the bad things we did.
Yeah.
Come on, why don't we just make this about our sins being forgiven? What about be filled with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and the redemption of our lives and the restoration of truth and purpose? Yeah? What about old things passing away and all things becoming brand new? This, he said, to make all see. What this fellowship, this co-union, this koinonia of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the ages, God's intention always, is now revealed. Look, who created all things. That's where I preached Adam, sin, briars, poison ivy, and cats, because some things came after the fall. They just did. Don't you think about that stuff? Adam and Eve wasn't getting poison ivy before he ate the tree. That's why you got to be careful studying a fallen man and then buying into the resume. Because you're before he ever ate the tree. So many people live in fear. So many people are vulnerable in the earth. How do you subdue if you're being subdued? Vulnerability is fear. So if you're fearing for your own life that you say you gave up, that could be trouble living out your life. If you're afraid to die when you're never gonna die, that could be trouble for the Christian. If death is your motivation and the fear of it, then faith probably never will be your reality. You'll just be driven by need, and you'll pray scripture and turn it into principles that you quote hoping to get help. You're not after the fall. You're in Christ Jesus. Be very careful. when you read so much stuff that says this and this will happen at this age and you'll this because of this and all these studies. We've studied fallen man for generations. Please don't buy in to his resume. You have new life through Jesus Christ. And I could talk about that a little. I could expound. I don't want to. It's not necessary tonight. You have to be careful. Some of these things are hard to preach on because we compare ourselves among ourselves. Sometimes we get touchy, offended. Sometimes we get condemned. And we just should never do that. We should listen to see what's possible and go after it. Never judge ourselves even. Let's just go after God. Let's not focus on where we're not. Let's enjoy the ride and be glad we're growing. And say, man, I might not be where I'm aiming, but I'm a whole lot closer than I was, and I'm enjoying this thing, and I'm coming after you, Jesus. You get it? I've seen a lot of people be their own worst enemy, just nitpicking themselves. Was the sister and I had a little tiny talk about that earlier, just said, don't do that. And she wasn't really doing that, but, well, she said she was, but I didn't hear that, but enjoy the ride. Like if you're sincere and you want change, you know that in your heart. You don't have to take a long survey to figure that out. Just look inside your heart. What makes you tick? You can answer that question in a heartbeat. What's the why behind your life? What's your motive? Why are you in this ministry? Why do you lead? Why do you want to be up here? Why do you? You know the why. You know if you need to feel better about yourself. You know if you like the attention. You know if it's just because you love Jesus, want to be a servant, be a blessing, and be involved. You know why. If you look. Yeah? He created all things through Jesus Christ to the intent. So God had intention. That's amazing. To the intent that now, aren't you glad you live in the now and you aren't back in this hidden day? Come on, let's not live like it's dark. We're in an amazing day. Like there's patriarchs of faith that saw this thing afar off and gave their lives for what they couldn't even have. And we're in what they saw. We're in what they saw. They didn't love their own lives. It says some of them wouldn't even receive deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. It says these people, the world whom the world wasn't worthy. What a testimony of these people. And they didn't even have what we have, but they saw it afar off. And there are great cloud of, they have borne witness of something we should follow. I know it's taught that there are people up in an arena looking on the earth cheering us on. No. The great cloud of witnesses is example after example after example after example that we witness and go, wow, gonna follow this example. Yeah? To the intent that now, right now, the manifold, many-faceted, many-sided wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Do you see how involved we are in his plan? Do you see that this isn't heresy and blasphemy and speaking high of men? This is God saying, I know what I made you for. I know who you are in me. I know who I am in you. And I want you to get that and not be ashamed of that. I paid a price for you. I'm putting my spirit in you. I forgave you of everything you've ever done. I've redeemed you. You're not in sin. You're in me. You're in righteousness. You're accepted in the beloved. And you're empowered by my spirit. Come on, that's all through scripture. Yeah. Let's stop being falsely humble. And don't be afraid, I'm being arrogant. He didn't say the manifold wisdom might be made known by the manifestation of God's glory, meaning like an outpouring. He said the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the... He's not talking about a building. He's talking about ecclesia. He's talking about the people. That the manifold wisdom of God would be made revealed and known by the way you live your lives now that you're in Christ. That's what he's saying. That what you used to be trounced and trumped by and crushed by in the realm of darkness now is under your feet. And by the mercy of God, you're above this thing, walking in the light as he's in the light.
Yes, come on.
Yeah?
Yes, amen.
People that had no hope, people that made more mistakes than it seemed possible, all of a sudden are standing in the presence of God with his spirit on the inside. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, I feel a big growl in there. To the intent that the manifold wisdom of God be made known by who? By the church. To who? To the principalities and the powers in heavenly places. That is an amen. That's the honor of the way you live your life. You're sanctified. You're not for sale. You decided when you got saved, you know what? I'm done compromising. And if you got tricked into compromise, you get back out of it. And you say, my life is worthy of the blood. And I'm not selling cheap because I'm not for sale. And I'm going to make known the wisdom of God to the powers and principalities. Come on. When I wasn't living in my life in Christ, I was so puppeteered by demonic spirits. I might not have been physically possessed, but I did anything and everything that they probably wanted me to. My attitudes, my backbiting, unforgiveness, all that stuff. I was a pawn. I was a puppet on a string because I was degenerate. I was unrenewed in my mind. They didn't even have to possess me. They already ruled me by my attitude. Are you with me?
Yeah.
God had a plan that was hidden through the ages, and now it's revealed that his manifold wisdom would be made known to those same powers through his people that are redeemed.
Yes. Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
That's why they take time to do these schools. It's not about pray a prayer and get your name in a book. It's about become what he paid for.
Amen, amen, amen,
amen. Right? Didn't he pay for something? Come on, if you paid for something and it wasn't what you paid for, you taking that thing back, they better pay you what you paid. Yeah? Some people find how Christian they are when they try to give you 2/3 of what you pay. See, Jesus is so amazing. He paid for something. Principalities and powers in heavenly places, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Watch this. According to the eternal purpose. This thing is forever. Like, you got to get this. Like, when you're in, you're in. Like, when you're loved, you're loved. When you're forgiven, you're forgiven. You got to get radical and passionate about that and stop believing any counter lies, counterfeit impressions, memories, flashbacks, dreams of negative things. Come on. When you're forgiven, you're forgiven. If you start believing that and living forgiven, you won't need as much forgiveness down the road as you think. Because if you make a tree, guess what the fruit is? And guess who gets all the glory? Because he changed you by his grace. If the eye's the lamp of the body, Roy, and the eye is single, the whole body is flooded with
light.
That's a work of grace. Who gets the glory for that? Are we super Christians or is he faithful? There ain't no super Christian on the earth. The only thing we're guilty of is believing him. You don't need a special trophy when you're walking in the Spirit. You're called to. You're created for it. But we make heroes out of people instead of realizing it's just what he paid for. It's normal. According to the eternal purpose. I remember getting saved. I remember sitting on my bed. You weren't there. You weren't around, but I was crying. And I just kept saying, I am never going to die. Like, I'm never going to die. I'm never going to be apart from you. Like, I'm sealed forever, whatever that means. Whatever that really means, I'm sealed forever in your blood. Thank you for loving me. And it built something in me. Just camping there built something in me. Like integrity and diligence and discipline. No nonsense. No compromise. No, yeah, well. Am I too aggressive? Okay, good. I don't even know why I got so intense here, but you all right? No, stop. Come on, it's the eternal purpose. And watch this. Watch. You don't have to do anything but step in and believe it. Believe you're worth the blood. Believe you're forgiven. Believe he sees you righteous every minute of the day. If you put that robe on, it's made for you. It fits you wonderfully. If you'll take off the old garments and the lies and the memories and the past and the regrets and the he said, she said, you'll see how good this thing fits you. It was made for you to wear. It's called righteousness. It's a garment, meaning it's an identity. It identifies you in him. In the old cultures, they wore garments to identify things. Certain sects and beliefs wore certain garments and dressed certain ways. Certain people that had ailments and sicknesses did certain. The blind Bartimaeus, he took off his sash. He threw it by the curb. Why? It's a sign to you that he's changing identity. This said, I'm a blind man, but I'm not going to be here any minute. So I'm going to lay this aside because I'm not this anymore. When do you just get aggressive and say, I'm done believing everything but the gospel, and I'm going to let the gospel be the transformation of my life? You can't sit under this kind of teaching and say, well, yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. And miss the whole point. See, you should be saying, wow, I see what he's been through. What he's been through has brought freedom to my life. He makes me brand new.
Amen.
Wow. I see the cross, but now I got life after this cross. Yeah, but you, brother, you don't totally understand. Sometimes you know, and then I've heard this language ever since I've been saved. And you're going to find out one day that it's unbelief. I'm not being mean. If you don't change that language, you're going to find it was unbelief. Because what you're doing is you're letting what one person said or did decide you, even though he said and did. You hear me? And you're going to find it's unbelief. Nothing more, nothing less than unbelief. The eternal purpose. He accomplished it in Christ our Lord. Watch. Oh, I hope you have this. In whom, through Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. It's getting better. See, some folks would be afraid of this and think this is arrogance. This is what he's saying. This is in his word. He's saying, here's a good barometer for you, church. If you're seeing what I did clear, you'll have boldness before me. You'll understand you have total access, and you'll be confident because you'll see I love you. That I opened the door and said, come in. Hebrews 4 affirms it. It says you have to see that Jesus is our high priest. He's passed through the heavens. He's the Son of God. He now mediates for us. And seeing that he sits where he sits, you come boldly into the throne of grace and receive mercy and help in every time of need. Not sheepishly, not apprehensively. This isn't arrogance. Confidence and arrogance aren't the same. In fact, arrogance would simply be you acting a certain way without seeing why you can. Confidence is coming from what you see. When you see him for who he is, it puts confidence and you have no trouble walking in. That could never be arrogance. That's confidence. But if you choose to keep the same esteem you've always had apart from him, if you choose to let what people have said continue to identify you and paint your portrait, you go find one day it's called unbelief. Whew, that's not too harsh. I don't know why I feel so. Yeah, we're going to go here, but I'm getting sidetracked quick. I never know what we're doing anyway. 2 Corinthians, you got to go there quick. You got to go there quick. And then we'll get back to where we just were, because back where we were is really feeling happy to me. 2 Corinthians 10, guess what you walk in? You walk in an earthly body. You walk in a human body called flesh. Now, don't think that the word flesh always means evil. He's not talking about the dictates of flesh. He's just saying you're walking in the flesh. He doesn't mean you're walking by the dictates of the flesh. It just means you're walking in a human body. You're in that period called life where you're in a body for that little window of time to manifest Jesus, and all eternity and resume and legacy hinges on this little season that you're walking in right now. You got this little window. It's a gift. Don't dread it. Don't misunderstand it. Don't get mad at it. Don't get mad at people. Don't get mad at God. You got this one little window. You say, well, I never asked to be born. Why didn't I get? Stop. The only reason you're saying that is because you let other things get your heart embittered. You got your eyes on the wrong things. Let's get our eyes back on him. You say, yeah, but everybody and all these, stop. Why are you letting all that decide you when you say he's Lord? Jesus being Lord, it means governing factor, supreme being, the ruling factor of your heart. Yeah? God means source of life. Come on, let's let that be true, guys. Yeah? So you're in a body. Be thankful that you have this little season. Be thankful that you have a talent or a possibility or two talents. Don't say, well, how come they got four and I got one? Stop. Take the one and have at it. Yeah? It says if you do that down the road, guess what will happen? Somebody that didn't even do nothing with the four, guess what he'll do? He'll say, man, you're amazing, Stuart. You're getting this. You see how it works. Here, I'll just heap you up. You just take this because I know what you'll do with it. And he loads you up with more. More gifting, more revelation, more potential, more discernment. Yeah? That sure beats sitting in church. Services. Period. If we're not in church services that are forming and cultivating a people that are going to grow up, which is what I'm trying to get to, into him in all things, then you have to question what we're even doing, because God doesn't need you to pay homage to him. That's what we've turned it into. We think he needs us to sing to him. He doesn't. He's super secure and amazing. Being able to sing to him and being in his presence is a gift to us, because it keeps you mindful of who he is. That's why he inhabits the praises of his people. He's not saying, oh, They triggered me. That's what we think. I just assure you, he's not insecure. Moses said, who should I say sending me? So who can I tell the people you are? He didn't say, well, you know, I don't even know what to say anymore because they're supposed to have loved me all this time. He didn't give some mealy-mouthed, insecure answer. They didn't have a clue. They walked so far from their roots, inheritance, heritage. They were in bondage for the last 400 years. They're only crying out in despair, not in reverence to God. They're needy. Who should I say? I am. When Jesus said it, kill him. You ain't even 50 years old. You seen Abraham? Before Abraham was, I am. Kill him. Pretty secure for God to just say, I am. What an answer. He knew who he was when they were so lost and in bondage and didn't have a heart for him. They just needed him to deliver them. He still knew who he was and said, I am. It's not because they were praising him. It's because he is who he is. I remember pastoring a long time back, full-time pastoring for just about 2 years, not even 2 years. And I remember going to the altar one night, and I was just going to thank God for my life, and blah, blah, blah. It was Sunday night. I led those services, and we just kind of flowed, and they were fun. Had an open mic, because I'm strong enough personality. If you get off track, I'll just put my arm around you, and everybody will go, uh-oh. Like, I'm talking off track. And we just adjust it and protect the person and keep on being with Jesus, right? But I knelt down, and the Lord, he slipped his arm around me. It was just like he slipped his arm around me. He said, why would you be discouraged when I'm the God of all hope? I wasn't even realizing I was discouraged. You know what I was doing? I was starting to believe the people I pastored didn't appreciate the gospel, were self-centered and didn't understand righteousness and just wanted blessings. And I might have been right, but I was letting that bother me. But it wasn't bothering him. So I was taking on an expression that he doesn't have. And it was twisted. He was telling me to knock it off because it's going to mess me up. Instead of leading sheep, I'll be beating sheep. Yeah? There was a time I was begging him to take me to the mission field right in that season. I was saying, God, send me to the mission field. I don't care about food, diseases. It sounded so spiritual, my prayer. I ain't afraid. Spirit of God in me. I don't care about the water, diseases, sickness. Take me to a place where they're hungry, God. Take me to a place. I'll go. Put it in the heart of my family. I'll lay down my life for you. I was all alone in the bedroom. I wasn't trying to impress nobody at an all-night prayer meeting. I was all alone in a bedroom. I thought I was sincere. The Lord came and challenged my heart, and he said, oh, you'll go where they're hungry. You'll go where, and I was like, yeah. But I knew he was correcting me. I could tell the way he approached me. I was like, yeah. You know what he told me? He said, the only reason I have a desire to go to the mission field is because I'm frustrated with the people I'm pastoring, and the frustration is giving birth to the desire, not the Spirit of God. And that's when he told me that everything has children. That's a pretty heavy encounter in your bedroom. Yeah. To be crying to go to the mission field and God loves you so much because you've said, don't let me get off track. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And if I get a little bit off track, kick me in the butt if you have to because I know you love me. But don't let me miss your heart, God. And you're asking him to father you. And then when you do something like I was doing, he comes and goes, psst, hey, Your motives all messed up. Frustration's giving birth to the desire. It's not my will. You're running from what you can't handle. So guess what he showed me would have happened? I'd have went to the mission field, and he's faithful and he honors his word. I know his word. I'd have prayed for the sick. Would anybody ever got healed? Probably. Would anybody ever got saved if I'm preaching the gospel? Probably. Yeah? And he said, every time I'd have moved, because I'm faithful to my word and I love people, it would have been at the expense of your own heart because you looked over your shoulder and said, see, he couldn't do that there because there. And see, God wouldn't move like that because there. And he said, the more I moved here and it looked like you built this great resume, the harder your heart would have got towards here. You ever see that happen to people? Well, it was happening to me in the very preliminary stage of just asking for me to go. And then you say, God's sending you. You better be very careful. Not everybody that started a church, obviously, because there's one on almost every street corner. I'm not here to decide who is and who isn't. That's none of my business. But obviously, not everybody who started a church was inspired by the Spirit of God. There's a lot of people inspired by frustration, discouragement, failure to find agreement. You just look at some church names and that'll give it away too. Because it's a stage higher. They try to get creative and upstage all the community churches. But you got to be careful with that stuff. Because it's presumption. It's looking down on. It's saying, we've arrived. We're here. Tired of church the way it's been? Da-da-da-da-da. Come and check out. That's a good way to find out that that's going to be the same as everything else in a short time. Man, I don't know how I got on all this stuff. We okay? See, it's all about guarding your heart. The why behind your life will determine the outcome. And if you didn't do it for the glory of God, it won't stand in that day. I don't care if you have fruit and resume because God was faithful to his word. If the why isn't right, it won't stand on your account. Why would it? It's got to be for his glory. It's got to be for him. It's got to be for the sake of others. If you're frustrated with people, how can you rightly minister to people? It was some good knocks and good learning along the way. I mean, he just comes and loves me like that. Man, he just... I just love God doing that to me. I always say, Father me, Father me, Father. I was sitting in the service, this guy, I know this, well, this won't be weird, I'm here. This guy, he's over there, he's in a service, I looked, and I don't see this stuff much. It was just the Lord let me see it. I looked and there was an evil spirit hovering over a man. It was just hovering over a man with, it had ugly looking wings, and it looked not good. It was just hovering right over his body and shadowing him, and I went, huh? And he told me what was going on and what happened with the man and why that thing was there. And he said, you're in authority over this meeting. I want you to go and tell that thing to get out of the room and get off the man. And I went, man, that's, that fella and the service going, a guest speaker's preaching. I think you're going to go over there and he's going to be, you know, I don't know. But I sit down and I'm like, Lord. And he said, Dan, I need you to go cast that thing out of him and my glory's going to fall in this room. And he told me what was happening, what that spirit was, and it was just something I don't need to go into. It just happened in a moment because people will write books on stuff. It's some of this stuff is just, yeah. The first spirit I ever saw get cast out of a person, I sang a song over them. It was their favorite song. It found a place of repentance in their heart to get them to look back to God. I never did it since. You don't write a book on that. It's not a method of deliverance. It's a leading of Holy Spirit. Next thing you know, you're singing over everybody and calling it songs of deliverance because you found that in your Bible. But if Holy Spirit's not inspiring the song, then you have a technique of ministry.
Come on, so good.
So I didn't go over and cast the thing out. I sat down in my chair and I started rocking and I was a little nervous. Not nervous to go cast the thing out. I was just thinking about the man, the service. I'm not going to be able to do that without people noticing. And I'm sitting there and I rock a little bit. And I said, Lord, would you just please let your glory come? Just let, and he said, now you listen to me. This is just how he talked to me. He wasn't frustrated and mad at me in the sense of he doesn't like me anymore. He's just getting me into this place of obedience. And I'm praying all this stuff, believing I'm serious. He's saying, I'm giving you a chance to walk in everything you pray. How about getting out of your chair? That's all that was happening. He's a father. He said, now you listen to me. You've been praying for my glory and praying for my glory. I ask you to do one thing and here you sit. Go do it. Amen. And I went. And I went the whole way around. And I went over to the guy and I said, sir. And I couldn't see the thing anymore, but I already knew it was there. And I said, sir, I need to pull you aside, pull you out. I need to pray for you. And I was going to try to do it discreetly and get back in a room somewhere. And he looked at me. And I told him exactly what I saw hovering over him. And he looked at me. And then I realized this thing had, it was more than hovering over him. And he looked at me with this strange look and tried to hug me. And I said, no, no, we're not going there right now. In Jesus' name. And I stuck my fingers in his belly. And it looked like I shot him with a gun. And I don't even know what happened because this person started bawling and crying, this guy. And I said, do you know him? He said, never seen him in my life, but man, do I feel compassion for him. I said, good. Get on the floor and hold him. Man got down and hugged him like a brother. And I stood up and the glory of God came in the room. It was just fun. But you want him to come and say, now you listen to me. He sounded stern. But I have a relationship with him. It wasn't like my alcoholic daddy when I was young and he was drunk, stern. It wasn't like me before Jesus trying to set my kids straight, stern, because I'm frustrated and irritated. See, when you hear that the Lord takes no pleasure in, guess what we hear? Displeasure. He's not even talking about displeasure. He's saying the Lord can't take enjoyment in you flowering when you're not walking out truth. He can't muse over you like a father over a son. And guess what we hear? We hear displeasure. You with me? I don't even know where we're going here. We're covering so much different little things here. We got into some crazy things here. What are we doing? Are you okay? Yeah, I shouldn't ask that. Okay, verse 3. Look, for though we walk in a body, we walk in the flesh, we do not war. We do not war. And remember, our war is not what? Flesh and blood. Our war is never people. Please remember that. Your war is never, ever people. Yeah? You say Ephesians 6 says, no, yeah, but our fight is with the devil. No, no. Your fight is the good fight of faith. Your fight is to continue to believe the truth in the face of adversity. Is there a wrestling with demonic stuff? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but power is. Is there a wrestling? Is there a push and shove sometimes? Is there resistance? But you don't fight the devil. You fight the good fight of faith. It's here. It's right here. Look, you're walking in a body, but you don't war according to that body. Your weapon isn't flesh driven, right? Or flesh applied. For the weapons of our warfare. Everybody's talking about spiritual warfare. I hear these phrases a lot, and sometimes the definition of it gets so big, it's like, let's just stay simple. We don't need to get confused. The weapon of our warfare, it's not carnal. It's mighty in God for the pulling down of. Now he defines what that is. Casting down. Not building up, repeating. Asking for prayer and ministry because you thought this or dreamed this or. Not feeding it, not keeping it alive. Come on, God's given us an answer. Amen. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Where's he talking about that taking place? in your mind. We'll prove that in the next four or five words. Anybody ever have a war go on in their mind? Anybody ever hear suggestions of something else? Well, actually, I have good relieving news for you. It happened to Jesus himself. He heard the devil. We get so crazy with this thing. We say, now, how can I be in the presence of God and hear the voice of the devil? I must be possessed. Jesus heard the voice of the devil, and he's the Son of God.
Yeah. Freedom.
You say, what do you mean he heard? The devil took him to a high place. The devil spoke to him. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted at every point like you and I, and yet with no sin. So impressions and opportunities to oblige and live in the flesh were in front of Jesus all the time. In a three-year period, every temptation that's common to men had passed by his plate. The difference between Jesus is he knows where he came from and he knows where he's going. And he says, I've been with the Father from the beginning. I've always been with him and he's always with me because I always do the things that please him. He didn't say, can you pray for me? I've got negative thoughts. Come on, I'm not being cynical. I'm being very real. You don't need prayer. You got weapons. In fact, a lot of times when you get into the realm of prayer over some of these things, you actually empower the stronghold, stay more focused on the problem, and never enter into the weapon of your warfare. And then you get reduced to living to feel better or stop believing wrong. And then that's your sign of freedom. You could flash back everything I ever did in my life right now in a millisecond. If the devil wanted to take a flashcard and go through my soul, I wouldn't lose a step spiritually. I'd rejoice that I'm free and delivered and not the same man. And it would throw me into a fit of worship and praise that God is good and judged me in righteousness. Not an ounce of regret, not one second guess, not one missing of my daddy in my childhood. Nothing. I'm free. I'm 58 years old and I'm filled with the Spirit of God, and you can't do anything about it. Are you with me? Yeah, but brother, you don't know what it was like when I was growing up. Stop it! You don't know what it was like when I was growing up. It's not about that. You're not growing up. You're 45. And it's time to believe. Am I okay? Pray for me. You won't. No. No, not hands laid on. Just pray. Don't you lay hands on me. Casting down. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Watch this. Watch this. Bringing some thoughts. Bringing every thought. When did we get the idea that our thoughts are a problem in bondage? Whoever painted the picture that your thoughts are always most sanctified, perfect, and pure?
Come on.
And where did we ever get the idea that because I thought it, it's me and my heart and I need to repent or I got a problem? I'll keep this so simple for you. If the thought bothers you, it's not from you.
That's good.
How simple is that? But if we don't get this, you know what's going to keep happening? Every little imp on the face of the earth is just going to keep going, yak, 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 yak. And we're going to say, I need prayer, I need prayer, I need prayer. I don't feel good. I'm thinking this. I'm remembering this. I don't think I'm free. You're not free as soon as you don't believe you're free.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I promise you. You don't think I've had pictures since I've been saved? You don't think blasts from the past have run through my mind? You don't think things I've done that I wish I never did ever came to my memory since I've been saved? Are you kidding me? It happened a lot in the beginning. It doesn't happen really ever anymore. Why? Because it throws me closer to Jesus. So if you submit to God, you're resisting the devil. I'm not resisting the devil. I'm submitting to God. My submitting is my resisting. It's a one-step thing. And I'm not getting tired. I rebuke you, devil. I plead the blood. I rebuke you, devil. I plead the blood. Ah, I rebuke you, devil. I plead the blood. Ah. What are you doing? I didn't find that in your weapon of warfare. Here's what I found. Casting down every thought that exalts itself again. Every thought, everything that comes and says you're not worthy is an enemy to your soul. Every thought that says you'll never be free, you'll never change. You'll never walk in righteousness. You'll never amount to anything. Who's ever heard thoughts like that? What are you so excited about? Nothing really changed in your life. You're not turning the world upside down with your faith. Anybody ever hear stuff like that? Boy, that's when you need to lift your hands high, not call for prayer. Because when you call for prayer, you empower the thing to keep dogging you. Because it has influence. But I promise you, when you lift your hands and you just flip that thing 180, you say, Father, I thank you that you made my life valuable and precious in your sight, that you've forgiven me of everything I've ever done, and you made me brand new on the inside. I have no desire for the flesh, no desire for sin. I have desire for you, your kingdom, your presence. And that little imp is going, whoa, that ain't normal. I always act a little skit out where the devil sends an imp to torment somebody, and then the person doesn't buy in, and they respond in worship and praise and totally ignore the imp. And then the imp runs back to the devil, and he says, I told him everything you said, boss, but he started to worship God. And then the devil says, you fool, and slaps him. And says, you couldn't have told him what I told you. If you'd have told him what I told you, he'd have grayed out and got depressed and called for prayer. Because that's what he's used to Christians doing. And the little imp says, not this one. Boss, I think he's a believer. Man, that is just good, good preaching right there. I'm sorry, but I'm not, but I found this stuff in my Bible that I actually have a weapon of warfare, and it's mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. That means they won't stay. That means they won't ever get established. That means they won't ever be in my life. And I'm not being arrogant, and God knows, and you'll have to weigh this, but I'm 25 years into this thing. That's not an eternity, but that's long enough to believe you know some things and you're on to something. Have you ever seen me less than this? My buddy Anthony's right there. Jenny's there. Have you ever seen me less than this? We go way back. We go way back to the late 90s, probably. Have I been this way? Since then. So you never came in my office and I wasn't anything but this. Wow. Is that because I'm a super Christian? It's because I'm a believer. And I don't have time to believe anything that doesn't build me up in him. And if I'm forgiven, then I can't live in regrets. And even if I made a mistake, I got wiser through it. And my heart's turned and I'm going after God. And you just ain't going to stop the train. It's rolling. So I got proof. I got a guy that I didn't pay him anything. Did I? I'm cheap, man. I just want to stand on truth. I'm calling on you. Have I been this way since you've known me? Now, I'm not boasting in me. What I'm saying is the reason I'm so passionate and aggressive and violent when I preach this stuff is because it's not my theology. It's 25 years of living it. And I'm convinced. And I know in my own heart. So I'm passing it on to he who has ears to hear. let him hear. Or you can yell butt your way around it. Come on. What are we going to do? Cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We're going to bring every thought into captivity. Look what we're going to do. To the obedience of. That means it's imperative that you see your life through Christ, that you understand the truth through Christ. So when these things hit you outside of Christ, you know how to bring them in Christ. Anybody ask you for prayer and they tell you something they did and then you say, well, did you ask forgiveness? Oh, I've cried and asked forgiveness, but I just feel so bad. That's not a prayer situation. You look right at him and say, what are you doing? What do you mean you feel so bad? The reason you feel bad is because your heart's turned and changed. You don't mean to miss God. You just missed God. He forgave you, right? Yeah. Then why do you feel bad? Well, because, stop. It's not even you anymore. It's over. I want you to lift your hands with me and thank God you're clean and free and don't you ever look back. No, I'm not telling you to do that now. What I'm saying is, that's what I tell people. And I get them to respond. And that was awesome. You're like a child in the presence of the Lord. I feel like I'm a grade school teacher. And I'm like, now lift your hands. And Tracy says, up on her tippies. Are y'all with me though? I know we're kind of, see, I'm so intense, that's why we have to laugh through it. Because he's not beating you down. You can laugh your way through. Yeah, and we get through it. It's anesthesia. Wow. Watch this. And this doesn't mean, oh, this is beautiful. Bringing every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That means you're crushing every lie by the way you live, and people are getting free because you're walking in freedom, and the lie has lost its power over the body of Christ. Are you hearing me? Okay. So, oh my goodness, we got to stop, don't we? Yeah, we do. We got tomorrow. You guys are going to do fireworks, bonfire. If you didn't get something out of all that, you weren't here anyway. You were somewhere else. So if you're off somewhere else, there ain't no sense proceeding. I'm having so much fun. You guys good?
Yeah, brother. We're good.
Who knows, this wasn't hard. This wasn't hard to take. There's answers in this thing. There isn't one person in this room that hasn't encountered negative thoughts, that hasn't heard whispers from hell and lies that you're not worthy, you never make it. If I ask you how many people actually had the thought, the faint thought of suicide in your life, you'd be amazed how many people in this one room had a valid suicidal thought in their life. It doesn't mean you're possessed. It doesn't mean you're bound. It means you're being targeted for deception, and Satan's trying to get you to never see your worth in the finished work of Christ and never wants you to rise up in what he accomplished. But we're those that believe. I mean, it seemed merciless and brutal when I was 3 months saved, hearing curse words in my head that I couldn't turn off. I had people say, well, you should have come to us. We'd have got you free. I'm like, you need to stop that. That's arrogant. Stop that. Because I sat on my bed and said, Lord, I don't feel this way about you. And he laughed and said, I know you don't. And I felt the love of God come all over me. I said, well, then why am I hearing these voices? I don't like them. I don't want to hear them. He said, every time you hear the voices, tell me how you feel about me. And I was young in the Lord 3 months, but I got it. I went, oh. Who knows, God could have made them stop. Who knows, God could have turned them off. He said, let them yak. Just don't believe them. And every time they speak, you tell me how you feel. Activate your heart to me.
Did it work, brother?
It wasn't a method. I just ended up forgetting about the voices. I'd hear them, but I'd go, Holy Spirit. Most of them were directed to Holy Spirit. Why? Because I'm so hungry. I'm reading my word like, and he knows I'm going to read, blaspheme the Holy Spirit, cut off, da-da-da, and then I'm going to start believing that I did the unpardonable sin, and then I'm going to start believing I don't have access to God, and then I'm going to live condemned even though my heart is surrendered and sold out and I'm in love. You ever bump into anybody that was sure they committed the unpardonable sin? That cried about it? That's how you know they didn't. Because they're alive inside. And they're being deceived and held prisoner by wrong understanding. Guess what happened? I kept hearing the voices. Holy Spirit, I love you so much. I appreciate you. You're my best friend. My coworkers used to say, why are you always talking to yourself? I said, I ain't never ever talked to myself. They said, you talk to yourself all the time going up the aisle. I said, I ain't never talked to myself yet. And they're like, you know how many of my coworkers got saved? You know how many came to me and asked me for prayer and how many I saw get healed? You know how they mocked me terribly in the beginning and some mocked me till the end? But God did something amazing in their lives because they never saw freedom before. They never saw security and stability and consistency. The manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. That's you.
Yay.
I'm going to stop all stories. I'm not going to finish where I was. Don't fill in the blanks. You'll fill them in wrong. It was my story. I'm just stopping. I need to stop. You guys got something out of this. There ain't one person in here that can't relate to memories. And I'm telling you straight up, I don't ever pull this card. I'm telling you straight up from what I believe has been given to me as a leadership position by the Lord. Don't you ever respond in a negative way to the negative thoughts again. You respond in truth. And you let your heart put words in your mouth. Yeah? I will finish this one thought. 6 months into those voices. 6 months, brother. 1 month, 6 months. If it has still happened to this day, what's the big deal if I'm doing this? People say, well, I'm just tired of hearing them voices. Why I want them to turn off? Why I just... God sits back and goes, oh, silly devil. He doesn't understand. He's dealing with a believer. So what am I doing? Submitting to God, resisting this, and guess what he'll do? Well, he sure took a long time to flee. The Lord didn't mind, and neither do I. Why? Watch. Watch. 6 months in, I was 9 months in the Lord. I realized one day I didn't hear the voices. And I don't know when they actually stopped, but it was sometime way in. And guess what I realized? I had an intimate awareness and relationship with Holy Spirit. Every gift you see in the Bible listed flowed through my life before I was 9 months old. Because of the communion I had with him. Now watch. I had a fellowship with Holy Spirit that I don't think I'd have ever had close to if it wasn't for the voices. And we think we have a problem. I think we have an answer. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! That's a good ending. Yeah. That got me feely. It did. That's got my hairs all standing up. I don't think we're a bunch of people loaded down with a bunch of problems. I think we're people that have one amazing answer. It's life, it's truth through Jesus Christ. He's the weapon of your warfare. You bring every thought into captivity according to the obedience or inobedience according to Christ. Amen? Amen. So from this day forward, I'll repeat it if I can. You got it? Good. I'm glad I don't have to try. People say, could you repeat that? And I'm like, no. It's just coming. Oh, you just said it. You can't repeat it? No. Usually it's hard.
Yeah, real hard.
Real hard. You all good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Father, I just pray that we walk in this thing. Hey, Tracy, now we can do it. Oh, yeah. Let's lift our hands. Just lift your hands. Just yield to him. Just ask him to empower you, to teach you these things more and more in your heart where you see them, become them. And watch this. Never again let a negative thought become a negative thing, but turn it into a finished work moment. Never again, church. Man, I'm charging you. Don't let a negative impression, memory, or thought become a negative thing. Turn it into a finished work. Revelation and confession and understanding and grow closer to Jesus in the face of that lie. Father, I bless him with that, and I pray that this thing makes him strong and mighty in God and fulfills Ephesians 3 in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm done, buddy. I'm done.